Jared.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. I hope you understood the insurance always baffles me. I am in no
No,
way an
yeah,
expert.
that made sense exactly how you put it. It was just something I was doing a million things at once last night, and then it kind of crossed my mind, so
Right.
I wasn't sure. But no, that makes sense.
Some clubs think that it's liability insurance for them, and it's not. That's a whole different type of insurance. How's your baby?
Good. Good, actually. I just got up to Lake Arrowhead. My wife and the baby have been up here with my wife's mom last couple of days, so I just snuck out of town today. Just got up here. Yeah, she's good.
Have you slept yet?
It's getting better. We're learning every day. It's like today we got it figured out and tomorrow it all changes, so but no, it's super cool.
Let's see who that is. Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Is it Steve or Stephen? Which one?
Either or. I don't even know half the time.
Well, my brother always had Steven. He was never Steve, and we actually have another friend that's that way, but everyone else is Steve, so it's very specific.
Oh yeah, no, I'm okay with either or. Half of my family calls me Scooter. Vinny calls me Scooter. So,
Oh, really?
yeah.
Okay, whoever is driving, please mute your phone because we can hear all the road noise. Okay. Okay. That's the anonymous person. To the anonymous person, I've just unmuted you. We don't allow anonymous. Let me see. Hold on. I'm going to mute him again. Let me see if I can figure out who it is. Just a second.
Bruce Brazil.
Oh, Bruce, it's you. Bruce, your phone is really messing up. I don't know if you need to call back. I've had to mute you because the interference is really bad. I love how it says under your thing, anonymous and unknown.
Hey, Amy, it's Lori. I just wanted to let you know I'm calling in through Mark's number.
Okay, great. Thanks. I'll add your name.
Hey, Amy, this is
Gotcha.
Jared. I'm gonna stay on as long as I can, but I may have to sign up at some point here, so.
Not a problem. Hopefully, it will be a short meeting. We only have a few items on the agenda.
Yeah, cool.
Hey, Amy, can I ask a question while we're waiting for a couple more people?
Sure.
So, somebody on the Facebook page asked a question. On Amazon, you can set up for a certain percentage to go to like a nonprofit or whatever. And
Right.
somebody had asked if Corvo was, on Amazon, and I know more and more people are doing Amazon.
Right. Right now, we are a 501c7, and you have to be a 501c3 to get that. And the Corva Foundation is actually in the midst of changing our 501c3 structure. So when that is final, we'll be able to do that for the Corva Foundation, but not for Corva itself.
Okay. All right. Because I was just wondering, because somebody had asked, so I wanted to be able to answer that.
Yeah, there are different types of nonprofits. There's a 501c4, and as a 501c7, we're not eligible for that.
Okay.
So, but we can in the future.
Okay.
So we have to work out the details. Let's see who else joined. We've got Terry. I've got Bruce Brazil again. Bruce, I'm going to still have to mute you because I have a feeling that's your noise behind. So I'll let you know if it's you after I mute you. Oh, you muted yourself. Okay. And then there's a 310 area code. Can I get your name, please?
Charlie.
It's Chris.
Someone, let me see who it is.
The 310 area code is Ian and Brittany from Wheel Every Weekend.
Oh, okay. Hey, guys.
Hi.
I can hear it. Ian and Brittany. Oh, and your last name is too hard for me to pronounce or write.
Hello?
L-O-H-T-S-E, right? All right. So I'm just going down the list of people. We've got a lot of people who just joined as well. Ken, Yaron, and Diana, and Ed Stoven, and Vinny. My computer says 7:02, so before Ken calls the meeting back to order, because this is a continuation, let's wait a couple more minutes. Everyone talk amongst yourself.
Charlie, did I hear? Vinny, Charlie, are you
yeah.
You're on the call?
Yes, I'm on the call. This is Charlie.
Charlie, Vinny, you said you had some more Arias. Do you still have some?
Yeah, I have a bundle you gave me. Maybe it's a 50 or 100.
I think it's 100.
Mm-hmm.
I might need those.
Okay.
If you're so
how soon do you need them?
Well, when are you going to be in Paramount again? Well, we could talk online, but
yeah, every Wednesday.
All right, well, maybe I can come. Can you bring them down Wednesday, and I'll come by and pick them up?
They're already in my truck. Sounds good.
Okay. I'll see you on Wednesday then.
Okay. Sounds good.
I'll let you know.
Okay.
So just so everybody
sounds like
knows,
you two had a great time. Benny?
We had a great time at the the Overland Expo. It was good to be there. It was fun. It was cold and windy. We could have had a better, better spot. We were kind of in a tent with, films and authors. So I don't know if we got as many people coming by as we would have, if we would have been out, but if we were out where, in a regular booth with an easy up of that, but on the other
right,
on the flip side, we were kind of shielded from the wind and everything. So,
well, that was good. That's okay. It got real cold up here in the Bay Area last week too.
Yeah. And next weekend, I've already made arrangements to go to the Four Wheel Parts Truck Fest thing in the city of Ontario. So I'm looking for volunteers to come out and help on Saturday and Sunday. So if anybody wants to come, we'll be out there. That's kind of why I need the extra Arise. I want to make sure we have enough. And then the weekend after that, I'm going to go up to Forest Fest. Jim and Roberta went there a couple of years ago and said that we really didn't, get too many memberships and was kind of not worth the time. But I go up there anyways, so I figure I'm gonna be there. So at least I'll make a showing on Friday. And they're kind of doing it different now, where they're gonna have a Friday. They're not doing any runs. They want to keep people in the area so they can. So the people will look at all the vendors, and they're going to have like times where vendors can go up, I don't know if on stage or what, and kind of, promote their product or whatever, and I'll try and promote Corva the best I can. But I figure we owe it to them to at least show up and be there, since every year they give us, you know, that matching, at least the last 2 years that I know of. They've given us $5,000 a year, so we should go there. So at least make a showing. Last year, I presented them with an award. I'm not sure what it was. I can't remember, but we gave them one of those one of the banners that we had made up, and I kind of made a big deal on during the raffle thing. So, anyways, and I would like to put an Oriya in each one of the registrations, like they did in for the Cal 4 event last weekend, High Desert Roundup. So I gave them 300 Oriyas, and they must, I think they went in all of them. And so I have like 300 Oriyas here at my house, and if I get those some from Charlie, that's hopefully will be enough for the next 2 weeks. So
that sounds like you're going to be busy. Amy and I are going to be going up to Ukiah next week for the OHV commission meeting and tour.
Okay.
And, Jeepers Jamboree changed their vendor fair again. They're moving it from Georgetown up to Rubicon Springs. So I would have to go on the run, which would cost me $800. So I'm not going to make it. We're not going to do that show this year. Kind of sad.
What do you mean it would cost you $800? Are they going to charge you to go on the run? Is that it?
Yeah. The Jamboree for the 4-day trip is $400 or $450 per person. And you have to have two people in a vehicle. So, and they're going to have their vendor fair at Rubicon Springs on, I believe it's going to be Saturday, either Friday or Saturday during the event itself. So you have to go to Rubicon Springs, and they didn't offer a free trip, so we're not going.
So just to keep everybody up to date, I've just texted Bruce Witcher and asked him to get on the call. We have 9 board members on the call right now. We need 10 board members. Jim Woods isn't on the phone. Wayne Ford isn't on the phone, and Bob Hamm is the only one that got back to me and said he wasn't going to be able to attend the board meeting because he's in Ensenada, and we're not going to feel sorry for him at all. But of the next three, either Wayne Ford or Bruce Witcher or Jim Woods needs to get on the call so we can have a quorum. So if any of Vinny, can you either text Wayne or Jim?
Yep, I'll text Wayne right now.
All right, thanks.
So how many guests do we have on the line now, Amy?
We have Jared McLeod, Stephen Howard, Terry Work, and Ed Waldheim.
Oh, hi, Ed. Terry.
How you doing?
Good, good.
Hey.
Howdy.
Howdy, everybody. You guys have anything you need you'd like to bring up while we're waiting?
This is Ed Waldheim. I'd like to bring up Red Rock. Again, I don't know what we're going to do on Red Rock. Evidently, Amy had the letter.
Yeah, I'll talk to you about that, Ed. I'll talk to you about it offline because it's sort of a process that Bruce and I are going through. So we'll get you up to date after this meeting. We'll let you know, because we're trying to put all the pieces of the puzzle together for our site visit there. So we don't quite have all the pieces together yet. That was one of my job to do.
Are you asking for a site visit?
We already have a site visit.
You have a date for it?
Yeah. It's the 14th of June.
Okay, because the round table,
it's going to be hot.
The round table wants to go there also.
Well, that's going to be on their call. This is our call. This is our deal to ask questions that are pertinent to the scientific analysis that we're going to be doing. The round table can talk to the state about their own meeting.
So this isn't open to everyone. Are you physically going to go to Red Rock?
Yes. Yes.
On the 15th?
14th.
14th. And is what's his name? Bruce. No, what's his name? Is he
Russ?
Coordinating it?
Russ, no, Dan Canfield.
Dan Canfield is coordinating?
Dan Canfield and Carl Knapp. You know Carl, you've met him before.
Yeah, he's the one that's Jim. He's got cancer.
Yeah, he does. He's recovering pretty good. He had colon cancer. But he's back at work, and he's doing better all the time. I talk to him on a regular basis. So now we have Bruce Witcher on the call, and so we have 10 board members, and we do have a quorum.
And Jim Woods said he'll be on in a little bit later, he said. So.
Okay, no problem, just as long as we can start.
All right. If we have a quorum now, I would like to reconvene our annual meeting. This is part B, or part two, whichever way you want to look at it. Welcome, everybody. We're going to go through a roll call real quick. To be official, Diane Mead, you're online.
Yes.
Diane
what
Mead?
Did you need?
Yep.
I'm here.
Good evening. Bruce Witcher?
Good evening.
Yes.
Oh.
I hear you. Bruce Brazil?
Here.
Thank you. Lori?
Here.
Lori Lewis?
Good evening, Lori.
Hello.
All right. How you doing? Ed Stoven?
I'm here.
Good evening, Ed. Vinny Barbarino?
Here.
You're here. Bob Hamm is not here. We got Amy with us.
Yep.
Charles Lowe?
Here.
Good evening.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Good evening.
Wayne Ford is not with us. And Michael Moore, you're on the line?
I'm here.
Good evening, Mike. Thank you for showing up. All right. So for guests, we have Ed Waldheim, Harry Work, Jared, and who else was there?
Stephen Howard.
Good evening and welcome.
And I have checked the guests, and all the guests are Corvid members and are able to vote.
Okay. So we did a roll call, and then we have introduction of board members and guests. I think we all know each other. Does anybody have any questions of anybody? I didn't think so. Okay, has everybody looked at the agenda? Does anybody have anything to add to the agenda at this time?
Hey, you know what? Before we do that, I'd like to add one thing. You said Stephen Howard. That's a buddy of mine.
Yeah.
And some of you know him, some of you don't. He's I even wrote about him in the article. He's a big time helper. He's been helping out for a few years now with Corva and mostly at the events and stuff. So just so everyone knows, he's a big help. So thanks again, Stephen.
Oh man,
you got me blessed, Stephen.
Hey, thanks.
We're gonna sucker you in a little deeper, Stephen.
I help when I can.
Thank you for everything you do to help us out. Thank you. Okay, anything else we have to add to the agenda? If not, we'll move along. Nope. Okay, next up will be the bylaw change proposals that we have coming up. Amy, do you have those?
I do. I will read them straight from the ARIA. The first proposed bylaw change is as follows: to change Article 6, Section 3, Subsection A, President. And this is proposed to change the term of the past president, where it says currently he slash she shall also act as an advisor for the board of directors for 1 year after completion of his slash her term of office. Change the language above to he slash she shall also act as an advisor for the board of directors until a new president is elected, then resulting in a new past president.
Ooh. I just see years added to my term.
Well, the maximum amount of years... That's a maximum amount of years it can be is six, because we have a three-term limit for the president. So that would be the maximum amount. And the idea is to take advantage of all the accumulated knowledge, because it takes a president at least a year to work into the position. And my feeling is 2 years to start getting really knowledgeable and really used to the role. It's a lot more work than people think. And it's pretty intense, and then they have to bear with all the calls from me.
I would have to agree with you. The last year has been one hell of an education process. I've learned a lot. I still am learning every day. It's going to take at least half of this next term for me to really understand everything that we need to do. So does anybody have any feelings or discussion, anything they want to bring up on this change? I think we want to vote on these one at a time. Would that be acceptable?
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think we have any choice but to vote on one at a time, right?
That's pretty much what I have to do, because I'm recording it for the minutes. And it is also being, this call, I should announce to everybody, is being recorded, but I am recording them also to distribute as board, as the second part of Board of Directors meeting minutes. So this one proposal, and repeat, is to change the term of the past president to... stay on the board of directors until a new president is voted in, creating a new past president, immediate past president.
Do we need to just make a motion and get that handled?
Well, the motion is made. We just need the vote.
No reason. I don't.
Okay.
Hello?
Let's vote on it.
So we're going to go ahead and vote on this?
Yes, please.
So Ken must have dropped out for a minute there.
Yeah. All those in favor of accepting this bylaw change, say aye.
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 All those opposed? And all those abstained? Okay, so that's accepted. Amy, do we have another one?
Yep.
All
The second bylaw, just a second, I'm typing at the same time as I'm doing. Okay, the second bylaw change is Article 6, Section 3, Subsection E, Vice President of Sales and Marketing. Eliminate this position on the Board of Directors. This position has been vacant for many years and the responsibilities delegated to social media volunteers. Corvus should also consider hiring a PR firm for greater exposure. Reality of this position is that it has evolved to something very different than was previously intended and requires specialists in different areas to do the job that the organization needs.
Okay, do we have any discussion on this?
Yeah.
The only thing.
What exactly do you mean by? Are you giving this a blanket that you can go out and hire somebody now, or is that going to be something that will be voted on in the future?
It has nothing to do with voting on it. It's just the explanation that was given by the person who submitted the bylaw change as to why the only change that is here being proposed to the members is to eliminate the position on the Board of Directors. The rest is an explanation.
Okay, that was a little unclear. Okay, thank you, Amy.
No problem.
This is Charlie.
Yes, Charlie.
So I think it's a pretty important kind of position, but, you know, all the work can't be done by one person. It needs to have a team of some type. And so no matter what's voted on, you know, I'd probably like to take some kind of a more active role in, like, corporate sponsorship and stuff like that. I have a bunch of ideas, but so one way or another, you know, I can get more involved in the marketing part, but I don't know if there needs to be a title or not, but...
Right. Just I need Charlie. I don't mean to interrupt, but I do need to check because we've had someone else come in that
okay.
I don't know who it is, and I need to check.
Jim Woods.
Oh, Jim, is that
Hi,
a
Jim.
New number for you?
No, it's my house number.
Oh, there's a number coming up as 234567.
No, I don't think so.
Hi, this is John Roberts. There's somebody else there.
Oh, okay. Who is this? I'm sorry?
John Roberts.
Oh, okay. Hi, John.
Sorry, called in late. Not a problem. Okay. Charlie, yes. I would like very much for you to head a marketing committee. Maybe we can get Jarrett and our Instagram guys to help you out.
Right.
We've had this position open for years. If you want to take the position, I guess we could keep it open. But we just felt, you know, it's been open, I think, for, God, I don't know, 8 years maybe or more. And we just have not been able to fill it. So we're thinking that we can have volunteers and people like you, a board member, run a committee to run the marketing versus having a dedicated board member to marketing.
Yeah, I mean, that works. You know, I don't necessarily care what the title is, you know, but I'd be happy to kind of be involved in putting together or, you know, just kind of coordinating a committee, you know, because it does have a lot of different moving parts and social media is really important. And I don't pretend to know that. So, yeah, it doesn't matter if it's what it's called. I can continue to do work on clubs and marketing.
Awesome.
But I'd probably, you know, really, I think we're kind of missing the boat a lot on corporate sponsorships and some other things. So I wouldn't mind working on that.
Fantastic. We'd really appreciate it. We need you.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Back to the bylaw change. Board members. Guess, does anybody have any feelings on eliminating this position? Otherwise, I'm going to call for a vote.
This is Terry again. How can he head up a position if he doesn't have a title on the board? and have
we can name them to a committee.
So, well,
we can make him a,
if he's
a committee
still the vice president of sales and marketing, if he steps up, and there have been other people in this job that have fallen out. It's not that it hasn't been filled every time, but he could still have that position of sales and marketing that gives him a title when he goes to the various manufacturers, vendors, and then he's also the automatic head of this committee once put together. So I don't see how
eliminating
it would be beneficial to the organization.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, Ken,
yes,
this is
Bruce Brazil.
Oh, sorry, Bruce. Go ahead.
Bruce.
Okay. Having a position that's always open also makes it harder to get a quorum. So we eliminate that. We don't have to have quite as many people to make a quorum.
Ooh. That's
Ooh,
always
have
a problem
people
too.
Join
okay,
the meeting.
Jim?
But
Jim,
I'm going to throw a whole different curve into this one. I agree with Terry, it's an important position. I'd like to see Charlie take that position and give up Southern Clubs. I know that will not help Vinny, but I agree with Terry that if that was his only focus, and if we put a committee together, which a lot of people have promised they were going to do and no one's done it yet, we could get together as a group and discuss it and help, as a executive board should do, guide Charlie in the proper way with the information that he could succeed. But if his only focus was calling, I'm just take Tony from January because I like the guy kind of. His focus, when I've called Tony, I have to explain to Tony what we do, not that he doesn't know, but I have to give Tony those warm and fuzzies because between this board right here, he gives us $365 a year. He's building Cal Four Wheels Jeep. Now, that's a great big number change there. But unless someone's really ready to focus on that position, then it's not worth doing. But I also think we need to have that position. But as of before, we need to have a leadership that will get us someone to fill that and then help that person do that job. And as far as if we cut out a bunch of more positions, we can have a quorum even easier. It could be like a quorum by three. I don't think that's the purpose of what this is. Unless we're going to change our complete business plan, which is another meeting that we should have, I think we need to have more input. But that's my feeling. So I think it's a bad move to close it myself. I think Charlie needs to take it. I like Charlie. He's done a good job, and he knows what he's doing. And I just think it's nuts to go any other way myself. But that's my opinion.
Okay.
This is
Anybody
Charlie.
Else?
This is Charlie again. I've kind of done a lot of thinking about it, and I would, no matter I don't what the title is. It's kind of what I do. And I probably do a strategic plan and get and put together and kind of start putting together a team. You know, we already have some couple good team members in the social media, and so
absolutely.
I don't care about the title so much, but I think it's important. So I'll whether I'm clubs or not, I'll still work on it.
Well, you know what,
okay.
Vinny? One other thing about having that title is, When you do go to talk to different vendors and organizations and stuff, that title to them, might mean something. When you tell them, I'm vice president in charge of clubs or Southern Clubs, they're like, well, what are you doing? But, director of marketing and sales, that might sound better. So,
yeah, absolutely. Okay. Anybody else have anything? All right, I'm going to call for a vote on this, on changing the bylaw. This bylaw. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Okay, we need
all
to. I need to differentiate how many of those are in favor. Just one second. we can do this anonymously. Just give me a second to figure.
I think I counted four.
This is in favor of eliminating the position.
Yes, I know you can raise your hand. I think it's pound.
And this is only the board voting, correct?
Yes. No, this is the no. That's not true.
No, this is
members. Right. Members vote on bylaws.
Amy, if you could do it by roll call, just do it by roll call. No one's feelings are going to be hurt.
Yeah, I'd say roll call.
I was trying to make it easier, but I guess I was trying to make it harder. Go figure.
Okay.
And this is in favor of eliminating. This is in favor of eliminating the position for marketing?
Yes.
Yes, and I'm going to record the vote, those in favor and those. Okay, you want to call a roll call?
Yep. Diane Mead?
Aye.
Bruce Witcher?
Yes.
Bruce Brazil? Bruce Brazil? I know you're there.
Yes, yes. I'm unmuted.
Okay.
How do you vote?
Yes.
Okay. Lori Lewis?
Yes.
Jim Wood?
No.
Just 1 second. Okay.
Ed Stoven?
I'll abstain. I don't really care.
Vinny Barbarino, thank you.
No.
Amy, do you have a vote?
Yes.
Okay. Charlie Lowe?
No.
And Mike Moore?
No.
Okay, what do we come up with there, Amy?
Well, you have to go through the guests now because they have a vote, too.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Ed Stowe or Ed Waldheim?
No.
Terry Wark?
No.
Jarrett?
No.
Steve?
No.
Okay. And gentleman who just came on, I forgot your name. I'm sorry.
John Roberts abstain.
John Roberts is going to abstain. Okay.
And Roberta is here as well.
Okay. Well, but
you guys have one vote for your one. You have one membership now, so you have one vote.
Jim voted as a board member. Can I vote as a regular member?
No, everybody has one vote. Board members don't get additional votes to be on the board.
I see.
It's one of those things we've discovered as we're studying our bylaws more and more. Okay, sounds like that did not pass.
No, that did not pass.
Okay, so we still have a VP of marketing and sales. As president, Charlie, I'm going to appoint you to that position.
What have I done, right?
I think.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
it's kind
sure
of my.
I
think. I think it's my destiny.
Yeah, and I'll second that.
Charlie, as we say in the motorcycle world, you went to the bathroom rather than using a zip tie to restrain yourself, so you have been elected.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our next bylaw change.
Well, I think that has to be voted in by the board. Bruce Brazil.
Look at the bylaws real quick.
Yeah, Amy, I believe you're right. If he makes that move as president, it has to be, I guess you call it, ratified by the board.
Yeah, I
okay.
believe I'm correct in that.
Especially since this is an annual meeting.
Oh, yes. I think what I was reading is that, like, during the middle of a term or something like that. And then
right,
the next board, I think it has to be ratified. You're correct. Thank you very much, Terry. You're always great keeping me in line. Okay.
No problem.
Let's go back to voting again. And this will be to elect Charles Lowe as the VP of Marketing and Sales. Do we want to do a roll call, or can we do a verbal vote on this?
I got a question. This is not on the agenda. Yes. Can we actually do it? Or do we have to wait until the next meeting?
No, you can always add to the agenda. We have an open agenda, and issues can be added at any time.
And it's an appointment, Ed.
Are you done, though, with the bylaws?
No, we're not done with the bylaws.
Then I believe that
you
should make them move after the bylaws are completed.
Let's
finish up with the bylaws.
Okay.
Next.
Bylaw change number 3, to change Article 11, Section 1. How it currently reads is the supporting membership shall be notified at least 30 days in advance of all meetings. Currently, it says notification shall be by publication on the website and newsletter and by email to those supporting members who do not receive the newsletter by U.S. mail. The proposed changes is to remove U.S. mail need only. So since we publish the newsletter quarterly, this is no longer efficient or reflect current circumstances. At the 2016 annual CORVA meeting, changes to the bylaws were voted in to change the timing and voting for bylaw requirements or bylaw amendments. These changes were intended to eliminate the requirement of limiting bylaw changes votes to only the annual meeting. And therefore, the proposal is submitted to remove the section where it says represented at the annual meeting from Section D of. Okay, never mind. I read this wrong. Sorry. It's a little confusing the way it's written. I know, I am too, but I think I got it. So this third bylaw change is to remove just the language that says notification shall be by publication on the website and newsletter and by email to those supporting members who do not receive the newsletter by U.S. mail. So, in other words, we'll be keeping the notification options open for all those people since we do not publish the newsletter as we had. At the time when these bylaws were written, we published some kind of newsletter on a monthly basis. Now it's a quarterly basis. So including the notification in the newsletter isn't relevant anymore. So it will stay publication on the website and by email.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Sorry about the confusion, guys.
So the main thing is that we don't publish monthly anymore. And it makes it difficult to get the notification out. That's
the
reasoning behind requesting this change.
So the word newsletter would be removed. There's still notification would be required 30 days in advance of all meetings by publication on the website and by email.
Okay, discussion? Does anybody have any feelings on this? Any ideas? Speak up.
I think we need to change it because we're not doing a monthly ORIA, so we kind of need to update that.
Thank you, Lori.
And this is
okay.
Jim. I think this is Jim Woods. I
Jim,
think that the way
you.
It is written well, and if we cannot announce it early enough, it's not the members' fault, it's our fault, and I don't see why the members should not get it in the ARIA in a written form, because I think there's a lot of people that don't go to the internet, will see a email come and go, yeah, yeah, it's Corva again, or not pay attention to it, and I think all of the members need to be notified when we're going to do these kind of things. So I'm not real in favor of it. I think we need to keep the way we've been doing it for a long time. And I think if we look at other organizations, they do it the same way, where it has to be both written and in their publications, as in a financial group where you proxy your votes for their board of directors. It gets sent to you electronically, and it gets sent to you actually as registered mail. So I don't think it's a good move. I think we're better off just to have our act together better and make sure that we get this stuff in the ARIA, and the ARIA comes out on time.
Yeah. I disagree with that, Jim. Most of my stock notifications are via email anymore, electronically. I don't receive snail mail anymore.
No, mine too, and notifications even of the SEMA board of directors and changes to SEMA are all done by email now. We actually just went through our database and looked very carefully at those who do not have email address, and it's a very, very small percentage of people who do not have email addresses. And it's also the acknowledgement that the ARIA is a marketing tool primarily now. And, yes, there will be people who will always read it because they like to have something in their hands and read it. But the majority of our members, little by little, are taking it by email, or at least having that as a second choice. They don't care either way.
This is Terry. I'd like to say keep it the way it is, but step up your announcing of the meeting. Don't wait that till you're in that 30-day crunch. I mean, it's only the fourth month of the year that the annual meeting is scheduled for. Start at the beginning of the year or in February at least. Just put it in all our publications, all our sites. You know, that's what everybody else does that. They don't wait till the last second. So just a little blurb and you're covered.
Terry, that sounds great, but the problem that we had, especially in the last couple of years and more than that, the people are really busy, and in order to ensure a quorum at the meeting, we've had to change times, and there have been other circumstances where we've had to change times because things happened. In an ideal world, it would, you know, everybody could put aside that weekend, but work schedules change, people change, things happen. And we need a quorum at our annual meeting, so we need it to remain somewhat fluid.
I understand that, Amy, but I also understand as a board member, you're making a commitment to the organization to be there for the annual meeting. And if that is on the board side, if they pick a date and it's agreed on it well in advance, then people can plan around it. This world we're becoming when everybody says, ooh, I don't want to do that, change everything for just me, doesn't fly with me.
I appreciate that, and I love your world, and I wish the world worked that way. It just doesn't. We have to be practical about it. We have to be practical. The thing is, the assessment is really, what is the loss of this, or what is the change? And the gain is to be able to be more flexible and put a meeting date at the point where the most people can make it. People sign up for things at a minimum, most of the time, 30 days in advance at the most anyway. Some people are able to plan their lives more than that. Certainly people that have more freedom, retired, they're able to do that. Younger people can't. We need to have the flexibility to ensure that the most amount of people that can come, or if something happens, that suddenly we have to change it or the venue isn't available. All we're saying is that we're able to move it within More, it still needs the same 30-day notification. That does not change. It's just the method of notification. And it doesn't mean that it can't be done. It doesn't mean that it can't be announced. But if something needs to change, we need the flexibility in order to be able to change it within, you know, more than that 30-day period. They still need the 30 days to be able to notify the notification. The notification time period isn't changing.
This is Bruce Brazil. Can I break in?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. A couple years ago, we also started changing the bylaws so that the voting and whatever in for bylaws changes would not have to be at the annual meeting. We wanted to make it so they could occur any time of the year.
That's true.
So we don't have to worry so much about, you know, the one date out of the year to get notification out.
Okay, that's a good point. And yes, we did start making some changes, so we weren't fixed to that one date. And anybody else have anything to add?
But Bruce, the 30-day notice is for the annual meeting for the elections, not for just bylaws. Bylaws just happen to be
45 days
consigning with this meeting. It's a 30 days notice for the annual.
No,
meeting.
This is not just the annual meeting. This is for all meetings. It's regional meetings. It's annual meetings. It's every meeting. So if we had to, so this is in all meetings specifically. The supporting membership shall be notified at least 30 days in advance of all meetings. The reality is, every time that we move a date. Let's say for Memorial Day weekend or Christmas, usually Thanksgiving, we change it. We have not published that change in the newsletter for the past, I don't know how many years, since I've been on the board since 2006, we've actually broken this bylaw probably 15 to 20 times because every change that we agreed on in a previous conference call to change the meeting hadn't been printed in the newsletter. So there's a practical reason for this.
So you're saying
it's
we
not
need to do a better
annual
job when those changes happen. Is that correct?
Everything can be always done a better job, but what we generally notice in the calendar is if Thanksgiving is coming up or a Christmas holiday, because we hold the meetings on the fourth Monday of the month, very often it's during a holiday period, during those, you know, December dates. Sometimes we make one meeting for November and December, usually around December 10th, give or take. That's what we've done the last few years. The reality is every time we've made that change, we haven't printed it in the newsletter, and therefore we've broken this bylaw. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't get notification on everything to our members as soon as possible. It just gives us the flexibility not to break the bylaws anymore every time we have to change meeting date. We still cannot hold a meeting if the membership hasn't been notified 30 days in advance.
The easiest way to do that is email.
And actually the easiest way to do that is social media, because we have many, many, many more followers on social media accounts by thousands than we do that get the newsletter.
I think it makes sense to make it so it doesn't have to be in print, because that just totally limits us. Because I mean, even if we're on spot on and we do everything like we're supposed to and everything, what if the printer, you know, if they screw up and or they have a lag time or something, so. Granted, we should work harder to get the Oriah out on time and all that stuff. But in this day and age, there's so many variables out there. I don't think we really have a choice but to take that that part of it out of it and notify them, like Amy said, either by email or social media or something, because, I mean, this world runs on social media now. Print is like, how many people get a newspaper anymore? It's going by the wayside. So I really think, you know, the internet is the way to, and you can notify people instantly. So
yeah, I agree.
I think email.
Limits us. Yeah.
It limits us by having it in print, I think.
And this is Lori, too. The other thing to keep in mind is that, you know, if an Oriah, say, just printed and an issue comes up that we need to act on, if there's something timely, and we're not doing another Oriah for another couple months, I mean, that could push a very important issue back for an additional 2 or 3 months if we have to put it in the Oriah and give 30 days notice.
This meeting right tonight is that makes that point.
Yeah.
That's why we're having this meeting tonight, because we couldn't do it because it wasn't in print. These bylaw changes weren't in print.
Okay. This is Jim.
And that's why I think we have to make this change. I think there's no other choice.
This is Jim Woods again. I'm in two different organizations. One's the city of Simi Valley. I'm neighborhood council. The other would be AMA District 37. In both of those, we have monthly meetings, actually districts every other month. But we have what's called a date board at district once a year. And that's where we sit at a full meeting, and we do it face-to-face, but it could be done on a phone call. We do it. It doesn't have to be a regular meeting or a part of a regular meeting even. But we discuss the whole year, and in their particular case, we say, okay, this club's having an event. We can't let this club do an event, but we also cannot do our charity event there, because the charity event will not get their participation. So it's pre-planning. I know it's quarterly, but I also know that I have to have my article into the district by the 10th of every even month. And we talked about that, and I know we're working on that, but it's the same thing. We're only talking 3 months ahead of time. I believe it's important we let our membership, or as I always call them, our customers know what's going on. And that, I think, should make it very important that we all work together to make sure that all of our customers know what it is 3 months ahead of time. It's not rocket science. It's not 2 years ahead. 3 months ahead. Of course, there'll be things that'll be screwed up, but this meeting is because of one of those versus, and now we can talk about how can we change that so we don't have that screw up again. But that's my feeling.
Okay. Go ahead, Amy.
No, it's everyone has different experiences, and Jim talked about the customers and who are our members. And so the question has to be asked is, how do we most efficiently get to our members? All the alerts we send out, all the notifications we send out about important issues, when we want them to support a bill, when we want them to call their legislators, when there's really a critical issue, we never wait for the newsletter. We always do it now. We realize by email and by social media, because we get much more of a response. At the annual meeting, I gave the figures of the responses we got from one of our email alerts, which went out, which we had over a third of the respondents to our email alert actually click open the email, which is an amazing response. It's way more than is ever usual to get. This is the nature of where it's going. We need to be, we do a better service in a way by, if we're mixing in meeting dates with everything else in the Oriah, people are going to miss it. We do a much better job, actually, by letting our members know immediately a couple days before. That's why we do alerts 2 days before. We do alerts a week before to let them know that a meeting happens. People work on a different time schedule. That's just what they do. It's a more immediate world. We expect information at our fingertips, and this is a way to make sure that that happens.
But, Amy, I think that's a meeting. That's different than notifying a membership about a change in our bylaws. We're talking an
We're not. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what the question at hand. The question at hand isn't anything to do with the bylaws, isn't anything to do with changing the bylaws. All this says is that membership shall be notified at least 30 days in advance of the meetings, which still stays the same. It just takes out one of the methods of notification as a necessity. Not that we're not going to still do it. It has nothing to do with bylaw changes. It's only notification of meeting. That's the only thing this is about. So before, notification for all meetings, regional meetings included, had to be by publication on the website, by email, and newsletter. If this passes, then publication of 30 days in advance of all meetings will need to be done by the website, minimum by the website and by email. It doesn't mean it can't also be included in the newsletter. But I can think of a whole bunch of meetings, southern meetings, northern meetings, that were never printed in the newsletter. This is in reality the way we have operated for at least 10 years. This is just an acknowledgement of what we already do and trying to get the bylaws to comply with what the actions that we're taking.
Okay. We've had quite a bit of discussion on that. I'm going to call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All those opposed?
Aye.
All those abstained? The motion passes. Okay. Do we have another one, Amy?
Yes, we do. I just need to count the number of people and take those away. Sorry, guys. Glasses. That helps a lot. And remember, everyone, I'm reading these, but it doesn't mean that I submitted them, because I didn't. And that's why it's a little confusing to me, because I'm reading somebody else's language exactly how it was submitted by one of our members. We do not have it in here who did submit it, who didn't submit it, but it was submitted by the members. Okay, so now at the preface for this fourth bylaw amendment proposal is, at the 2016 annual CORVA meeting, changes to the bylaws were voted in to change the timing and voting requirements for bylaw amendments. The changes were intended to eliminate the required of limiting bylaw change votes just to the annual meeting. Therefore, a proposal is submitted to remove Section D of Article 17, where it says already, Section D says, those bylaw changes require a two-thirds majority vote of the supporting members, and the portion that is proposed to be removed are the following five words, represented at that annual meeting, to go into effect. And I should explain here that this is actually what Bob would call a fix-it law or a cleanup law. We already made the change that allowed bylaw changes to take place at any meeting of the board of directors, or a conference call, or the annual meeting, whenever the proposal is made and it's put on the agenda, and our members are notified in the right amount of time. What we neglected to do as a board at that time were take out these five words represented at the annual meeting. So this is cleanup legislation to make that portion of the bylaw comply with the changes made in 2016.
All right. Discussion?
Bruce Brazil here. By supporting members, does that mean the whole membership? rather than just the attendees on a phone conference meeting or at the annual meeting?
Well, it would think, I would think that if you say by the voting supporting members, it doesn't specify that they would be the members at that meeting or the members that
I guess what I'm asking is, what's the definition of supporting members?
I have to get my bylaws up. Oh.
I think it's members that dues are paid.
Yeah.
Okay, then we'd have to have 2/3 of our membership vote for it.
Right, so this should be worded differently.
Yes, just strike out annual.
Yes, it should just strike out annual. But we can't make that change because it's been represented to the membership differently, unless I'm calling that wrong and being too specific.
Okay, so we are saying that we cannot vote on this. We need to rewrite the proposed change and notify the membership before we vote on it, 45 days in advance. Correct?
It would have to be voted on at the next annual meeting because the only word, as Bruce Brazil correctly noted, that needs to be removed
right,
from the sentence
meeting.
Is annual. No, just the word annual.
Just the word annual. Okay.
Right.
So
that
not,
it can be. Right.
We're not going to vote on this time.
Bruce, you know the bylaws better than anybody.
I would say we have to vote on this and just, you know, vote to reject it.
Okay. Yes,
okay.
Makes sense.
Because
absolutely.
It has been placed on the voting calendar.
All right, so we vote on it, but we're going to reject this.
We should, yes.
We should. But if you want to vote yes, you can vote yes, but we're going to reject it. The
if
idea
you vote
is
yes,
that
you'll have to fix it at the next annual meeting.
Yes, exactly.
This is one of these, if you vote yes, you mean no, and yes, no means yes.
Well, I propose it in the next ORIA, and we've gotten, for the next ORIA, which will include all the votes at the Part A of the annual meeting and Part B at the annual meeting, we've gotten Ken's article, my article, some nice articles, the great picture from the Overland Expo, but we are, and Bruce has promised me his land use article, but we haven't gotten any more articles. We have a really good article on Vora, too, and some pictures. So we want the ORIA to come out. We need content.
Yes, we need content for the ORIA. All right, let's vote on this. All those in favor of accepting this bylaw change? All those opposed?
Opposed.
Nay.
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 Yay.
And all those
nay.
Abstain.
Nay.
This measure does not pass. Okay, we have another one, Amy?
Nope.
All right, we got through that.
Yay! Hey, but before we start the next thing, the awards.
Yes,
I just want to mention earlier I mentioned something about Stephen Howard. I noticed that Ian and Brittany are on, and if you guys don't know them, they're part of the group that's running doing our Instagram page, and. They are also our newest corporate or business sponsors. So they joined. They're the ones that joined us at the Overland Expo, and they're a great couple there. So we should really welcome them in. They're they get it. They believe 100% in what we do. So that's all.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us and supporting Corva.
I'd like to say one other thing. This is Charlie. So while we were at the Overland Expo, Ian was so generous to pay the silver corporate sponsorship. He posted a picture on Instagram, and we had another customer from another person from Arizona come and search us out because of that image and got a membership the next day. So social media works. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, it does.
Thank you.
It's a powerful tool,
and it's really fast. Really fast.
Yes, it is. You can't beat those electrons.
Right.
Okay. Let's get the awards out of the way, and then we'll do the election for Charlie. Okay. Do we have any nominations for the 1918 Corva Awards?
Yes, we do. Just give me a second.
Can we do Diana Mead first, please?
What about Diana Mead?
You would like to do the past president's award first? I think Amy would be amenable to do that. Ken, are you amenable?
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Ed, okay. Are you on?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, just making sure. I believe the past presidents that we have on the line are Jim Wood, Ed Waldheim, and Diana Mead. And I take it, Jim, you're prepared for this then, huh?
No, ma'am. You made the nomination. I will not say a word.
Okay. The Corva past presidents are excited to recognize Roberta Wood for the 2018 Past President's Award. Corva is lucky to have an incredible volunteer board. Roberta is volunteer extraordinaire. In serving as the treasurer and secretary for years, Roberta has donated both her skill and her time. She did an outstanding job in both positions. The numbers of special events she has managed and the numbers of gift baskets she has created are also worthy of mention. Thank you, Roberta, for all that you have given to us freely, without condition. It is appreciated.
I don't know what to say. Thank you very much. I'm quite honored and very humbled by the nomination.
Here, here.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Well deserved, Roberta.
Yes, well deserved.
We were unanimous in our choice, and with the exception of your husband, who recused himself as soon as you were brought up. So I thought that was kind of wonderful.
I just send you guys emails and say, don't send me anything. She sees my phone. We share everything.
Oh, you're funny, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm quite honored. Thank you.
Okay, we can move on.
Thank you, Roberta, for all your service all these years. Mm. Okay, nominations.
Just a second, working on it.
Okay.
Where is my list? Okay, I've received nominations in the following categories. The Los Aventureros Award, the Northern Club of the Year, and Off-Roader of the Year. Are there any other nominations that somebody would like to add for any of the other awards?
We have any nominations from the membership and the floor?
Oh, sorry. Southern Club of the Year, I have one too.
Okay. Amy, I don't know if Jared got it in for Point Magoo. He had to leave the call.
Okay. I already have a nomination for Point Magoo.
Okay. I wanted to make sure that because he left the call because they just had a baby 2 months ago and she was acting up, so he had to go.
We all understand it. We've all been there, most of us anyway. So, and she looks so cute in her pictures. So,
oh, yeah.
Babies rule. So let me read the nominations that I have with no particular order in mind. I'm starting with the Los Ventureros. I have two nominations. The first is for the Imperial County De Anza Rescue Unit, which is celebrating 50 years of saving hundreds of lives. The group is made up of volunteers who go wherever they're needed. They help search for people. They get lost in the desert, in the cities, in the water, in mountains, all over the place and all over the Imperial Valley, and including Mexico. On busy holidays, lack of water can be deadly for people getting lost outdoors, and therefore they're very busy on holidays such as Memorial Day weekend, Veterans Day weekend, etc. If a vehicle breaks down or something happens where they can't travel and they run out of water, that's when dehydration takes over and it could be very dangerous. The Imperial County Sheriff, Raymond Luera, applauds their efforts and says the Imperial County and its residents are very lucky to have a group of people like these. They're doing this on their own time. They have most of their own equipment to go out and do this work. The De Anza Rescue Unit said they have always wanted to share what it's like to save somebody. They say to rescue somebody is a joy that can be hardly described, but to lose someone is a terrible loss. So that is the Imperial County De Anza Rescue Unit. The second nomination is for the Post-Wildfire and Disaster OHV Recovery Alliance. The Post-Wildfire OHV Recovery Alliance was formed after the terrible 2018 fire season of California and some surrounding states to serve as a central clearinghouse and response team, as well as an oversight organization for post-wildfire recovery of trails and OHV infrastructure. They worked diligently to orchestrate, organize, train, and supply volunteers in support of local clubs to bring back our OHV 4x4 dirt bike and any and all recreational access trails after terrible fire seasons. They are confident that their mission and purpose will help expedite getting trails back sooner rather than later, as agencies seem to be overwhelmed with emergency responses, rehabilitation, restoration, and all the other problems associated with major fires. Their first project was in the Chappie Shasta BLM OHV area by Redding. The car fire had partially devastated and closed 52,000 acres, and with the help of the Post-Wildfire OHV Recovery Alliance and 35 local volunteers and clubs, they worked very hard to reopen the area, restore and reopen the area to OHV recreation. They installed dozens of no-dig barriers, keeping folks on the right trails, cleaned out untold numbers of plugged culverts, and picked up truck beds full of trash and old tires, all in cooperation and compliance with BLM staff. So just to reiterate, there are two nominations. One is for the Imperial County, the Anza Rescue Unit, celebrating 50 years, and the other is a new organization, the Post-Wildfire OHV Recovery Alliance.
All right. Sounds like two worthy groups. I do know that the Post-Wildfire Recovery Group has just received their 501c3. Any discussion on this?
This is Charlie. I'm kind of new to this process, but is there only one award given, or can we do more than one award for that? Could we do both?
Ooh, that I don't know.
No,
There are at times when we have shared awards among, like, Off-Roader of the Year, for example, or there was the year that Ed Stoven shared his political action, but generally in these awards, which are either Northern or Southern Club of the Year or the Los Aventureros, they do not share. So we often have more than one nomination for we have three nominations for Northern Club of the Year, for example, and usually one is chosen from those categories.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions or discussion?
This is Bruce. I'd say that the search and rescue organization has been around a lot longer and I think would be more deserving of an award.
Yeah, they've been, this is their 50-year anniversary this year. Okay, thank you.
This
anybody else?
Terry Workham. I'd like to point out about the PWOR. They're still working. They're on a issue this weekend, working in an area. And also, they've been bringing trailers. They haven't stopped. The last one I heard was 3 weeks ago. Still bringing trailers up to Northern California for people that have been displaced from the fire. Hard to say. I mean, I know the search and rescue has been around a long time, but the PWOR has been doing an awful lot in just a short amount of time.
True. Okay. Anybody else?
The only thing that was told to me, and this is what by somebody who had experienced personally and why the organization, the County Dan's Rescue Unit, was nominated is because they specifically save lives in Glamis, and they've been very active there. And especially with the amount of accidents we've had recently at Oceano Dunes, we have to be cognizant of the fact that we need organizations like this out to help our recreationists also, and to make sure that we encourage people to watch people, especially in areas like the dunes that can be very remote, and make sure that everybody is safe. I just wanted to add that because I think it's an amazing thing to save a life. And I agree with Terry. I know people who were burned out. Everybody in Northern California knows some family member or close friend that were burned out of paradise, and it breaks your heart. They've done some tremendous work. It is their first year, and I think we have plenty of years to recognize their work. In the upcoming years, it would be nice to recognize a group that hasn't been recognized and has been at it for 50 years with very little recognition for saving lives.
Agreed.
Okay, unless we have any other comment, we're going to go ahead and vote on this. It's a tough choice. It really is. Two great causes. All right. All those in favor of the Imperial County Rescue Unit, say aye.
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 Okay. All those in favor of the post-fire recovery group.
Say aye.
Aye.
Okay. So it looks like the Imperial County Rescue Unit has it. I must say the post-fire, they're doing a lot of great work, and it's a cause that really needs some attention. I'm very proud of them. I support them. And as Amy says, they're going to be around for a while, and I'm sure we're going to give them an award at some time. Okay, congratulations.
Can we send them perhaps, Ken, if you want to pin that message, and we'll put it on Corva letterhead and just let them know that we really appreciate it. They should appreciate that they were nominated for this award in their very first year of organization, and that we appreciate all the hard work that the board chose a 50-year-old organization that coincides with Corva's 50-year history, by the way, but that we look forward to honoring them in the future.
Yes, I can put that together.
Very, very good suggestion.
Thank you.
Yay, Amy. Okay. Next. What do we have next, Amy?
Okay. Now we have Northern Club of the Year. Okay. I have three. You're all going to have to listen to me now. I have three nominations for Northern Club of the Year. The first one is the Frank Rains RC Crawlers. They have been an integral support arm for Friends of Frank Rains, who won the Northern Club of the Year award last year, I believe, and who bring a group of able and willing volunteers to help whenever needed. Their appreciation for the somewhat newly built RC play area at Frank Rains has these folks stepping up, often without recognition of all the hard work they do. They have also generously donated many of the shirts and other swag that Friends of Frank Rains sells to generate funds to support their volunteer work. Each time money does not need to be spent to raise more money, it is a win for all of us. Frank Rains RC Crawlers, sorry about that, also donate RC vehicles to raffles held at Frank Rains. These cars, trucks, and buggies have become the coveted prize at events because the winner can turn right around and play at the RC play area. Club founders support Corva's inclusive fight for access, and every member of the Frank Rains RC Crawlers must join Corva. Although all members have RC vehicles, most also have some sort of off-road full-size vehicle. So that's the first. The next is Friends of Frank Rains is nominated. This group has given many hours, days, weeks to maintaining the park. They have graded trails, cleaned the camp, filled holes, refurbished the hall, and so much more. They have a Facebook page and are always promoting the park and off-roading, and they are 100% Corva Club. I know they do so much more and hope that many more have suggested this wonderful group. So that is the second nomination, and now the third nomination is for the Modesto Ridge Runners. They are 100% Corva membership. This year they donated $505 to Corva, plus another $500 to the Christmas Tree Angel Fund, $250 to Search and Rescue in Stanislaus County, and $250 to the Sunshine something group. They have adopted the LaGrange Park in Stanislaus County and helps with repairs, cleanup, and other events held there. They also help with cleanups in Frank Rains Park. They promote letter writing campaigns whenever Corva suggests we write letters or hear of issues in the legislature that need attention. All of our members are sent emails and encouraged to write letters. And this year, one new family was added to their club, which was also became Corva members. So those are the three nominations. So just to sum up, we have the Frank Rains RC Crawlers, the Friends of Frank Rains, and Modesto Ridge Runners. And for anybody who's going to ask, the Friends of Frank Rains and Modesto Ridge Runners have both won Northern Club of the Year previously. Because somebody's going to ask that question.
I was going to ask that first thing, Amy.
There you go. I read somebody's mind.
In fact, Friends of Frank Rains won it last year, and it was highly deserved, but they did win it last year.
Yes, they're fantastic supporters. Any discussion? Anybody else have anything to say on this?
This is Bruce Brazil, opening my mouth again.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The RC Crawlers, they could be operating almost anywheres. And what I'm trying to say is I don't think they're an area where activity under our umbrella of interest.
Well, that's not exactly true because they operate, this is the Frank Rains RC crawlers. So
yeah, but the activity is what I'm referring to.
RC cars have become really, really popular at off-road areas. They are a thing. And if we look at it as expanding our membership and the people who would be members of Corva, this is sort of a niche group, but they support off-road access. And most of these people, there are RC events now at every, when the state has, the state actually runs them at Cantina for the Con, all the state demonstrations that they do around, they have RC cars because it's so popular at off-road areas. So it's kind of a thing.
It is a motorized vehicle.
It is a motorized vehicle, but Bruce, one point that I would like to make is that in the case of this particular group, every single one of these people also has an off-road toy, and that is one of the reasons that they insist on the Corva membership for their group.
We have three very deserving organizations. The Frank Rains crawler, RC crawlers, yes, it's kind of outside of our league. They do support us. They have the Corva logo on all of their communications. Friends of Frank Rains, they're always supporting us. They've been coming to Corva booths with me lately. Modesto Ridge Runners has been doing a lot for years, so we've got three difficult choices. So it's up to you. Okay. Let's go ahead and vote on this unless anybody else has any discussion. First one would be Friends of or Frank Rains RC Crawlers. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Wait a minute, I have to record this. Let me figure out how to do that.
We can do a roll call. We do a roll call for each one.
Yeah, that would work.
All right. Change screens here. Bring the computer over by the fire. It's getting cold out here. Okay, Diana Mead.
RC Crawlers, please.
Okay. Bruce Witter?
No.
RC, okay, so...
No, just, can you just state who you want, maybe? Can we do it that way?
Yeah, let's
do it that way. Because
it's going
to take us forever to get through
that
way.
That'll save us time. So, it's Frank Rains RC Crawlers, Friends of Frank Rains, or Modesto Ridge Runners?
Ridge Runners.
Ridge Runners, okay, thank you. Bruce Brazil.
Ridge Runners.
Lori Lewis.
The RC.
Tim Woods.
Friends of Frank Rains.
All right, Ed Sullivan.
I don't know. I'll abstain.
Ed, that's not a club.
Hey, they're the funnest club I know.
All right, so
I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Okay, so you're abstaining?
Not choosing is still making a choice.
That's
he
right.
Left the state.
Okay, Vinny?
Ridge Runners.
Ridge Runners. Amy?
RC Crawlers.
Charles Lowell?
RC Crawlers, I like something new.
And Mike Moore?
RC.
Okay. Who did we... I think that was RC Crawlers, was it, Amy?
Yes, RC Crawlers.
All right, congratulations. I'll also tell you that they are looking at putting on an event
down at Frank Rains this year. They want to be the first RC club to put on an event to benefit Corva. So we'll see how that comes along. Okay, next award.
Okay, and if I suggest maybe writing letters to the nominees to let them know that they were appreciated their nomination, I think that's a good thing for us to do. That would really, because all of these clubs really did it, and Friends of Frank Rains were really fun to see at Prairie City too, and come out and man the Corva booth. So they were cool. All right. Closed the wrong tab. Just give me a second to open it again. Oh, crap.
So what is the process? Do they actually get an award sent to them? Is it a letter and award, or is it a mention in the Mariah?
We made up flags last year.
Mm-hmm.
So the flag last year that we did turned out to be very, very popular. So, and I think Steve did it. So if we could do that again, I think that would be an awesome idea. And it rolls up really small, and then they could display it at any event that they're at, which would increase awareness of Corva.
Yep, I agree. Those are a good thing.
Yeah.
And the Southern Club of the Year is actually very short. And it is for Point Magoo in recognition of all their hard work and support of Corva, especially this year. They deserve special recognition for putting on their family fun days at Hungry Valley, SVRA. And without them, we don't know how Corva would function.
Okay.
This is Jim. Thank you, Terry. Thank you very much, Terry.
And Jared.
And Jared.
Sorry. And Jared. The new baby.
Yeah, and the baby. All right. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Congratulations, Terry and Jared and club.
And baby.
And baby. I got to remember the baby.
Damn baby.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay, so this is a nomination. We received one nomination for Off-Roader of the Year. And this is for a couple. So nominated are both Roberta and Jim Woods for Off-Roader of the Year. They really do work as a team. The Woods have been OHV advocates for a long time and involved with Corva since the early 2000s. Together, the Woods have served as Corva president, Corva Southern director, Corva treasurer, Corva secretary, Corva Southern secretary, and they managed both the Corva store and membership mailings for many years. Until the Woods family decides to move up north, they've got all the positions covered. When the Corva store was at the Woods residence, they made weekly trips to the post office to send out the merchandise. The store merchandise was in a big closet, but they also had a storage shed that they paid for where Corva event merchandise was stored. Jim Woods has also been AMA District 37 dual sport president and currently writes articles for the District 37 newsletter. He works as a volunteer at various fundraising events, including the LA Barstow to Vegas dual sport motorcycle ride and Ride for Kids, a fundraiser for the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation. Jim and Roberta have traveled to Sacramento to participate in Lobby Day many times. Jim and Roberta Woods have organized countless Corva events, including the Truck Haven Challenge, Family Fun Days, and Southern Jamboree. When Jim was Corva president, he attended every Corva event in the North and the South. Jim was also instrumental in keeping Johnson Valley open, working with a coalition of OHV organizations. There are many things that we are sure are missing or overdue for all the things the Woods have done through the years to promote OHV. This award is long overdue. Let's finally give Jim and Roberta Woods the recognition they deserve by awarding them the Off-Roader of the Year award.
Wow, great.
Well written.
I'm just going to call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Congratulations.
Hey, yeah. I think it's Mr. Wallheim. I hope he's still on the line. Would say we don't do it for ourselves. We do it for our grandkids, our kids, and the people around us. And I'm very touched, but I don't need an award. I need when I go out to see or to go play. We're going next weekend with our son to a rocket shoot on BLM land. It's all permitted. It all works because of the things we've done at Corva to make sure it all works. So I'm very flattered and love it, but really the thing is thank you all also for giving a crap and making sure it all we can work together. But thank you.
All right. Thank
Congratulations,
you.
Jim.
Thank you so much.
Okay, and we have one last item
and
on our agenda. The motion made previously to appoint Charlie Lowe to VP of Sales and Marketing. This is a board vote.
All right. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, well, yeah.
Aye.
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 I screwed up. We should have seconded that.
We should have put it out as whatever they call it. Thank you, everybody. I'm blown away.
Okay.
Well,
thank you,
sir.
That was a well-run campaign you had there.
Okay, I seconded the motion since I talked about it. So, motion made by Ken Clark, seconded by Amy Granite. So now the vote again. Sorry, guys, we need to say.
Yeah. All those in favor.
Aye.
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 All those opposed. All those abstaining. Congratulations again, Charlie. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you so much. I think it'll be a lot of work, but it's kind of a challenge that I welcome. So we'll work on it.
Fantastic.
Congratulations.
All right. Thank you.
Does anybody else have anything else they'd like to discuss at this time?
We had a this is Diana. We had a request on Facebook asking if Corva has an Amazon friend or Amazon.
Right. So I explained to Lori that Corva is a 501c7. It is a not for profit instead of a nonprofit. The Corva Foundation is a nonprofit and is currently going through the motions to get its own nonprofit status.
Okay.
Previously, it was a division of CTUC, and the Corva Foundation Board has moved to become autonomous and have its own nonprofit status, which we're currently doing. And as soon as that is done, by vote of the board of the Corva Foundation, all monies collected by the Corva Foundation go to benefit Corva. Or actually the California Off-Road Vehicle Association.
And I think one other thing, we didn't do the political action award. Did we have nominees?
Yeah.
No, we did not have any nominees for any of the other awards. I can tell you we also did not have a Looney Dooners Trophy to Charity. We did not have any nominations. We did not have any nominations for the Political Activism Award.
Then could I propose the Looney Dooners Charity Award, perhaps to the Modesto Ridge Runners, because they had a pretty lengthy list of donations there.
They did.
Or we could also say for District 37 Ride for Kids, we made $54,000 this year for kids with brain cancer.
That's pretty incredible.
That is incredible.
We do it every year because, you know, these kids are cute for some dumb reason.
Yeah, Jim, you should be getting in touch with me on that because I may be able to get you corporate sponsorship or matching funds or donations through my employer.
I will talk to you before next year.
Yeah.
So is that a formal nomination for the District 37 dual sport?
How about we make it for Orange County Dualies because they raised most of the money. So I'll nominate Orange County Dualies from Southern California for charity for the money they raised for the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation.
Okay. Can we open a nomination for those awards?
Nominations have been open, so sure. Okay. Let me just open another folder. Give me a second, and I'll write all of them down. New folder. Okay.
The Dooleys have won that award in the past, also,
yes.
By the way.
Looney Dooner Award, Charity Award. So if we're doing this right, the first nomination was the Modesto Ridge Runners. The second nomination was Orange County Dooleys. And Terry, the third nomination?
No, I didn't. I don't have one. I just wanted to make sure we were allowing for nominations correctly.
Yeah, everyone. We always take nominations from the floor for the awards at the annual meeting.
Well, I understand that, but it was kind of haphazard how it came back to the nominations. Well, yes, we did ask for nominations at the beginning. Nobody had any. At the end, we mentioned we had awards that we had no nominations for. At that time, people wanted to give nominations. But I think that's acceptable.
So we have two nominations, Orange County Dooleys and Modesto Ridge Runners. I believe both have won the awards for very good reasons. Modesto Ridge Runners do their charity work on a local level, lower amounts, and Orange County Dooleys work very hard on behalf of the children and raise a lot of money for the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation.
Damn it.
Want to call for a vote?
Yeah. I just lost my roll call.
All right, just a second. I've got it.
You got it?
Okay.
It's opening up. That's wrong. Okay. Diane Mead?
The kids, please.
That's the Orange County Dooleys, I believe.
Yes, please. Sorry, I couldn't remember the name.
Okay. Bruce Witcher?
Yeah, OC Dooleys.
Okay. Bruce Brazil?
Orange County Dooleys.
Lori Lewis?
Orange County Dooleys.
Ed Stoven?
Orange County.
Vinny Barbarino?
Dooleys.
Amy? Okay, Charlie Lowe?
Orange County Dooleys.
Mike Moore?
Orange County. Make it unanimous.
It seems to be Orange County is unanimous. Congratulations, Orange County Dooleys. Okay, did we have an award, a nomination for the The other one we did not have a nomination for was the Political Activism Award. Does anybody want to nominate anybody for that? If we have no nominations. Okay. Any
I'll make one.
Okay.
I know it's been done before, but this is a person that never gives up and never says die, and he's still out there keeping everybody correct in every avenue of off-roading and the politics of everything we do and what the government does, and that's Ed Walheim. I have just been amazed by him in this last year more than I can just say.
Yeah,
sorry, guys, I dropped off for a minute there. My phone just went blip.
If anybody deserves it, he does.
Did I miss anything?
You
missed
something.
Terry, that's Ed Walheim. I'd like to nominate Randy Bannis. He single-handedly got us going and involved with S7, the bill to create our open areas. We went to Washington, D.C. We had a open house the other day to celebrating all of the people who participated in getting this bill passed. And it was amazing, all of the people that showed up that are on the payroll for some environmental organizations. There wasn't anybody there, there's about 14 of them, who are not on a payroll for an environmental organization. And they it's amazing how they keep going and they keep going and they keep going. And thank God Randy got himself invited, and he was key in making sure that Congressman Cook and Senator Feinstein got the bill passed. We're not done with it yet, because now rumors have it that the bill did not say open for OHV. It said available for OHV. And so we got the fight ahead of us to make darn sure that we don't get shortchanged. And get something given to us, then taken away from us. So it's still not over. Randy Bannis is working on that, as is the round table in Ridgecrest is working on that.
Okay.
So was that the only nominee, Randy Bannis?
No. Terry Work also nominated Ed Walheim.
Okay, and I have a nomination as well. I want to nominate Butch Miner. Butch is on every conference call and has done extraordinary efforts to try to help save Carnegie SVRA for many years now through his work with the Bay Area Writers Forum and educating people, putting posts on Thumper Talk, and taking out his legislator, Representative or Assemblyman Kalsa, out to Metcalf Motorcycle Park to show him just what off-roaders are. Without people like Butch, we can't hope to save Carnegie. And I know many of you don't know him like I do, but he has brought together the motorcycle community, and they listen to him. And so we can pass along information through Butch from Corva, and they respond. And it's hard sometimes to get motorcyclists to respond. But the fight for Carnegie has gone on for many years. The other two people are amazing, and both have won many awards, but Butch has not, I think, been recognized for all his hard work. And he is constantly on top of the issues. Carnegie, as we all know, is a multi-year issue, and it doesn't look good this year. It is really, really tough. It's a tough fight. Save Carnegie, SRERA. So that's the third nomination.
Okay, so we have three nominations. We have Ed Waldheim, Bannis.
Randy Bannis.
Randy Bannis.
Randy Bannis, thank you. I just lost his first name there. And Butch Miner. So we'll do, this is for the Political Activist Award. We'll do a roll call vote. Diane Mead. Oh, this is also a board vote. Diane Mead.
Butch.
Okay, Bruce Witcher.
Butch Miner.
Bruce Brazil.
Butch.
Lori Lewis.
Butch.
Jim Woods.
Ed Waldheim.
Ed Stoven.
Randy Bannis.
Amy.
Butch.
Charlie Lowe. Charlie, you disappear. Mike Moore.
Butch.
Okay, it looks like Butch has that one.
That's terrific.
Hey, it's Butch. I'm honored.
Hey, Butch, how you doing?
Congratulations, Butch.
Well, you know, to be among you guys. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for all your hard work.
You've earned it.
Oh. Yeah, absolutely. Do we have any other? That's all our awards then, huh?
Yep.
Okay. Any other items that need discussion?
Just want to quickly bring up.
Yeah.
That the everything for the Family Fun Run is going ahead pretty smoothly. We've turned in our maps, and so far they've given us the okay. We're going to have a few more pre-runs just to iron out basically where we want to have some checkpoints. And the donations are coming in, so everything's looking good.
All right.
And we hope to see all of the corporate board there.
Well, I'm not going to come back, be able to make it. I am going back to work on the 10th of June. So I'll be, won't be quite available as I have been in the past 6 months. But I'll still try to make it to everything I can. All right.
And I just wanted to say that Ken Oyer is coming to the commission meeting in Ukiah as well, and Bob Hamm. So we will have a great representation of CORVA board members and members there. So if there are any issues that the membership would like us to bring up other than the usual, please let us know. Ken and I are both there, Ken Oyer and Bob. I don't know if Bob will be coming on the tour, but the rest of us will be.
Okay. That's it. It's,
there's a DAC meeting coming up, too.
I got a DAC meeting. Okay. It's 8:54, and we've completed all of our business. Would anybody like to make a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All right, all those in favor of adjourning part two of our annual meeting, say aye.
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 All right. All those opposed? Anybody want to abstain and stay on the line?
Nope. Okay. Everybody have a great evening. Thank you very much for your time and everything everybody does. Congratulations to all of the awards winners. And it was a great discussion tonight. Thank you, everybody, for participating. Have a good night.
Not all.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Something they talked about.
Good night.
I want my.
Ken, are you still on? Oh, there, he left.
I'm still on, but it's only because I can't figure out how to hang it up. I don't know what's going on with my phone.
Yeah,
can you please leave
until
I go away? This is funny.
Well,
I
think I can hang you up. I'm not
would
sure
you,
how to do it.
Would you make me go away, please?
I did know how to do it. I think, okay, here, I'm taking you away, all right?
Okay,
nothing
bye.
Personal. Bye.